I am Laura Chahalsky. Welcome to the Finding Balance in Your Business, Career, Finances, Health, and Life podcast. Today, we are thrilled to have Barbara Rubel as our special guest. Thanks, Barbara, for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We're so thrilled to have you. I know our healthcare providers really need the information you're providing. So thank you for all the amazing work that you're doing. Barbara Rubel is a Newsweek Forum expert member, keynote speaker, and author on managing professional grief, burnout, secondary trauma, stress, compassion fatigue, and vicarious trauma. She is the author of But I Didn't Say Goodbye, Helping Families After a Suicide. Barbara, thank you so much for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. It's a beautiful brand new year. So I'm moving into the year hopeful and using my strengths to manage what comes ahead because COVID has really impacted so many of us.
It has. It really has. Yes. And it's still continuing. We're almost 2 years into it and it's still continuing. So it's just crazy. And we're praying for healing and we're praying for the healthcare providers that are doing such a great job. And so our audience today, Barbara, is mainly healthcare providers. And I know you do a lot of speaking with healthcare providers, practices, trying to help them get through not only their normal stresses, but what they've dealt with COVID over the past couple of years. And your story is so impactful.
Well, in 1986, my dad took his life. And that put me on a journey of discovery. I wanted to help so many people who were suicide loss survivors like myself. Mm-hmm. And my dad and mom were both police officers. And he ended his life when he retired. But he did that when I was in the hospital awaiting the birth of not one baby, not two, but triplets. I was about to give birth to triplets. And I needed to find meaning in his loss. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that so many of us have lost members of family members from mm-hmm. to COVID and homicide and drug death mm-hmm. and you know, suicide. There's so many losses mm-hmm. and it propels us into our career. Mm-hmm. And as a keynote speaker, I recognize that many nurses and social workers and practitioners, mm-hmm. they were propelled into their career because of something that happened to them earlier mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. But it was the week of September 11th. I was a hospice bereavement coordinator. Mm-hmm. I was an adjunct at Brooklyn College teaching mm-hmm. crisis. I was teaching crisis intervention during the worst crisis in New York City during 911. I was facilitating support groups. Mm-hmm. I was driving home and I couldn't hear one more story. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I'm a professional and I'm considered the expert in the field and I can't do this anymore, mm-hmm. how are people who are just entering into the field going to do this?
Right.
Do this really important work mm-hmm. of being compassionate and empathetic. And so I work with trauma-informed organizations, mm-hmm. recognizing that we've all been traumatized in some way, right. but we've also been traumatized and may be grieving. So I have a grief-informed organizational slant as well as a vicarious trauma-informed okay. slant because we have been vicarious traumatized as well. We're experiencing burnout, compassion fatigue, secondary traumatic stress, empathy overload, empathic distress. We're burned out.
Right. Exactly. Well, you have an amazing story and I'm so sorry what you went through with your father, but it's made you the amazing person that you are today. And it's so wonderful how you're taking your traumatic experience and helping others with that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And I think we have to thank all of the healthcare professionals who are
yes.
listening because
yes.
they have a story too. They've
agree.
Experienced so much trauma and loss in their lifetime, in their personal life and their mm-hmm. and in their professional life. And they need to be honored for that, that they're still doing the work and how hard it is. They are so burned out, Laura. They're so burned out.
And yes, they are true heroes. And we're so thankful to them because they're on the front lines. They're doing amazing work every day. So it's awesome. So now tell us about how you found that for healthcare providers and even yourself, that burnout can contribute to, you know, decreased mental health, you know, there probably affects that how they can take care of their patients every day. So how can you help them to get through the compassion fatigue and the burnout so they can take care of their patients and be the healthiest that they can be?
Yeah, that's exactly it. If you want to do a really good job and you want to be effective, you've got to take care of yourself.
Right.
So you can take care of your patients, right?
Right.
And we have to recognize what's causing our burnout. the overload of all these tasks and demands and conflicts. It's not related to our patient exposure. It's related to all the other things that we're going through in the workplace. But the bottom line is self-care. We're not taking care of ourselves. And that's why we have backaches or we don't have energy and all the things that you know about burnout. But if we recognize that if we take better care of ourselves, because then we'll take better care of our patient because we're so focused on our patient, then we will take better care of ourselves because burnout is affecting our body, our mind, and our spirit.
That's amazing. It's everywhere. It's affecting your entire body. Now,
everything.
Yeah. You talk about burnout and you're giving some great tips for healthcare providers. What about compassion fatigue? Because obviously throughout their day, they're giving of themselves so much. I mean, they're very compassionate doing what they can with their patients, but if they get fatigued from doing all of that, how do they give compassion toward themselves as well so they can continue to fill their bucket and be able to give to their patients and to their families?
Yeah, I think the phrase you used was perfect. You said they're giving so much, so much of themselves. When you dispense this care, this empathy, this compassion over your own self-care, how can you keep giving if you have nothing left? That's the fatigue, the exhaustion, because you are giving too much of yourself. We are so stressed out. We are burned out. We are stressed out. We are experiencing this compassion fatigue of giving of ourselves. We are at a place where we don't even know what we're feeling.
Yeah, that makes sense, total sense. And I know, like with your experience, you had when you're taking care, you know, talking to others about your experience, you mentioned you dealt with compassion fatigue and then the traumatic stress that you had with your experience with your father. So how does the traumatic stress come into play with compassion fatigue for these healthcare providers? And how can they kind of work through it to have maybe a healthier 2022?
Yeah, I think we need to recognize that, like with my own dad, that was my traumatic stress. But when we are providing support to our patient or our clients, they are experiencing the primary stress, but somehow we are experiencing the same symptoms that they are secondhand. That's secondary traumatic stress. So we didn't experience the situation, the incident, the loss, the trauma, but we are experiencing the exact same symptoms. It is an acute stress reaction in mostly healthcare professionals because they're working with people who are suffering in pain, terminally ill, and it's the same symptoms as if they were vicariously traumatized. Your patient dies, you're helping someone who's really in agony, or even you don't even have to see a patient. You might just open up a document and read a patient's file or listen to a 911 call. So you are traumatized, but your brain doesn't realize it's not your trauma, but your body reacts like it is.
Very interesting. So you're saying healthcare providers probably take on what their patients are experiencing, even if it's not their own trauma, just based on the fact that they're empathetic, correct?
Absolutely correct. That's exactly it. When you have a high empathy level and you are compassionate and caring and know your job and you're doing it well, you're enmeshed in their story. How do you walk away from that?
Right. And I'm sure part of that is important, right, for helping your patient heal because you're kind of feeling, but then how you, we'll talk about that in a minute. How do you step back and heal from that, right? As well, to make sure that you're able to kind of stay as little emotional as you can, right? To be able to help them heal and be able to think clearly. So how does vicarious trauma fit into all of this as well? The compassion fatigue, the secondary trauma.
Secondary traumatic stress and vicarious trauma, very similar because secondary traumatic stress is the stress you feel. Vicarious trauma is realizing that the person you're working with is traumatized. So we understand their trauma, but now because we are in their story, in their narrative, within the incident, now we are vicariously traumatized. So if you're working with a sexual assault, someone who was just sexually assaulted, now your sense of safety, you don't trust others. You're fearful when you get to your car in the parking lot. You might question your abilities. You don't want to get close to people. A sense of not having enough control. But the most important thing is to remember when you are vicariously traumatized because of someone else's domestic violence or homicide or whatever it is, your sense of self in the world is shifted. who you are as a person, that changes how you view yourself in the world. You no longer feel safe in the world. Mm-hmm. And when you put burnout, compassion fatigue, secondary mm-hmm. traumatic stress, and vicarious trauma together, that's why there's this great resignation. We cannot take anymore. Right. It's just too much.
Right. Yeah. I can imagine what they're going through. And then we talked about earlier, COVID 2 years later, right? We thought we'd be over this, and now you're seeing all the different variants, and they're still having to deal with this in short staff. And they're doing, again, like you mentioned earlier, they're doing an amazing job. We're so thankful to them. And we're thankful to you, because your framework that you're going to talk about right now, your framework for resilience, is going to really, I think, help a lot of healthcare providers. And they can also reach out to you as well. You can talk about the end if they want to have you come in and talk about this more, because I really feel like your information is so needed right now.
Yeah, thank you. I think that when we talk about managing all the things that we're managing, we're looking outside of ourselves. You know, what can we do? It's more of who can we be? And it's about framing your resilience based on who you are as a person, and really your strengths, your values, your goals, your faith, your belief system. So that's why I created the fabulous framework. And it's a framework for understanding that whatever you're going through, whether it's a death, a loss, a COVID-related job loss, whatever it is, that it's a catalyst for positive change in your life, that you can use this and become whatever it is you want to become in the next year. So the first pillar is flexibility. And I always used to talk about flexibility as open mind and cognitively flexible, but now it's all about the workplaces. So we need to focus in on, how can I be flexible in my job? Do I need different work hours? Do I need recognition, time off, childcare, elder care? It's just looking at your world mm-hmm. and your job and being flexible as you explore that. Next is attitude, having a positive attitude. Mm-hmm. And how do you create a positive attitude? I know that when I walk my grandson Toby in Florida, and it's hot and it's 90 degrees and sunny, I start sweating. I have a bad attitude, but somebody mm-hmm. stops me and says, "Oh, what a cute Frenchie." Poof, my attitude changes. Mm-hmm. So we need to focus on what's causing the bad attitude. Is mm-hmm. it your supervisor? Is it you're not appreciated? So we have to also look at our attitude in life and make meaning out of your job, make meaning out of being mm-hmm. in healthcare. What does that mean to you, right? So mm-hmm. is it that it's a spiritual place? You could say, you know what, because I do what I do, I'm sharing the same values as other people, or mm-hmm. I value my relationships with other nurses or other mm-hmm. practitioners. Mm-hmm. I have personal growth when I see what others are going through. I've grown from that experience. We learn and we make meaning out of our job. And also, Laura, it's about spirituality. It's nothing about religion. It's just about recognizing the emotional bond we have with people on our team, being appreciated, being connected to helping. It's about having a personal gratitude. It's recognizing that I am grateful for what I have right now in this moment. Perhaps I'm healthy, I have a job, I have a loved one. You know, you just, what are you grateful for? Mm-hmm. And gratitude generates this sense of connection to other people. And I have to mm-hmm. tell you, when my mom died, she was 91 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, I could not attend my dad's funeral because I was in the hospital giving birth mm-hmm. to triplets. Right. But when my mom died, there was this sense of gratitude that I was there for her funeral. And it was a beautiful funeral. She was a WAC in the Army. So we had people from the armed forces, and she was a cop in New York City. So we had several police officers present. I have to tell you, I was so grateful. So we need to really look inward and say, you know, what am I grateful for? And find our resilience and look at your strengths. You might say, you know, my greatest strength is I'm brave. Even when others feel differently, I speak up for what's right. So it's about finding our strengths as well. The third pillar is boundaries. And it is about recognizing your boundaries and stop allowing others to push your boundaries. It's exhausting, because Tony Gaskin says you teach people how to treat you by what you allow, what you stop, and what you reinforce. So get in touch with what you're reinforcing. Pillar four of the fabulous principle is understanding job satisfaction, why you love doing what you do. Mm-hmm. You're a good fit. The responsibilities are there. You have a great leader. You really like your supervisor. You're accomplishing your goals. It's perfect. So we don't have this superpower that makes us perfect, right? We just do the best we can. We're human beings. But if we could just answer this question for ourselves, if you had a superpower that would make your job easier, what would it be? And when you reflect on that answer, then you could say, okay, what do I need to do to bring that superpower into focus? What can I do? What can I do differently? Do I need to leave my job? Do I need a different supervisor? Do I need to change jobs? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? So it's not just us. It's our organizations. We need to work hand in hand. Teamwork, team reflection, consultation, supervision. We're not alone here. We need to reach out to our supervisors to help us manage all the things that we are managing. Mm-hmm. And like if you were thinking about a strength you would use, maybe you'd say, you know what? I'm kind. I offer support and that makes me feel good. So we get in touch with our strengths. Mm-hmm. The next pillar, there are 8 of them. The next one is pillar 5. It's about laughter. We know it increases our mental health, our well-being. It decreases our feelings about loneliness. It lessens headaches. It's good to laugh. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, back in 2005, I was doing a keynote speech for school nurses in Washington, D.C., over 1,000 nurses, so 1,300 school nurses. And I told the nurses that they needed to go home and decompose. I thought I was saying decompress, but I said decompose. They were so kind. They came up to the front of the room into the mic. Barbara, I don't think you're telling us decompose. I'm like, I didn't say that. I had the biggest laugh. I couldn't even stop laughing. So we need to be able to find things to laugh about in life, even during COVID. So I took home these 3 babies right after my dad's suicide. I needed a sense of humor. And that sense of humor in the middle of the night when they're all screaming, I just stood there sometimes and just laughed. What can I do? You know, get the bottles ready, change the diapers. I needed a sense of humor. So that's why I created this as part of a way to be resilient. You know, use humor. Have a sense of humor in your life and consider whether it's stand-up or slapstick or sarcastic humor, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. As long as it tickles your funny bone. And then also recognize your strengths. You might say zest. I start each day with a sense of excitement. Yes, by the end of the day, you may get in your car and be so exhausted you just want to go to sleep. But at least you're starting your day off right. And then there's pillar 6. That's optimism, being optimistic. What does that mean? It's a positive attitude that you treat everybody fairly, that you're coping, you know, you're just optimistic, you're hopeful. It's a wonderful thing. And the research shows that when the more optimistic you are, the more you flourish like a flower. Who doesn't want to flourish? That's when you have purpose in life, clear goals, you're resilient, you're enlightened, you're learning, you're looking inward. That's my goal today, for you to recognize that fabulous framework is about you looking inward and recognizing what you need, that you might have a high ACEs score, you know, when you were young, you know, maybe you had trauma or dealing with losses and traumatic incidents throughout life. But now, you know, you're doing the best you can. So look inward to those strengths. And that's all about well-being in your career, in your relationships, financially, in your health, in your neighborhood. It's all about you. This 30 minutes together is really just about you. Focus on what you need today. Focus on what you need right now. Focus in on your strengths. So what other strength are you using? You might say, I'm realistic. I treat situations as temporary and have high expectations that in the end, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. So I love this Lewis Carroll quote. Who are you? Said the caterpillar. I hardly know, sir, just at present, Alice replied rather shyly. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have been changed several times since then. Let me tell you, when I was working in hospice, and I was facilitating a suicide law support group. And I had some private clients who were dealing with some really difficult situations. And I was teaching at Brooklyn College crisis during 911. Goodness. We change. We're constantly changed by the people who we invite into our life, patients, clients, friends, family members. Even right now, we're constantly changing. Even Laura, you and I, listening to each other, sharing. There are people who are listening to us, and they may be doing some work on themselves and reflecting and changing. So here's a reflective question for them. If you had to describe your job using one word, what would it be? Now, sadly, last week I did a presentation, and then when I got the chat bar back, there were over 200 chat. Like there were some good things, but Mo said exhausted. Exhausting, exhaustive. Everything was about being exhausted. So if you're exhausted, then how are patients or clients going to benefit from you? You might even make a mistake. Yeah, right. So it's so important to build our resilience, to be fabulous, to have relationships, social networks, whether you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, social networks online, or you have a really good neighbor, friend. But so many people, when I read the chat bar and I ask all these questions during my virtual webinars, they'll say their dog. If it wasn't for my dog, I don't know if I'd be alive today. Mm-hmm. That frightens me, because what happens when that dog passes after 7 to 10 years and you don't have that in your life? So that's very frightening. So we have to also reflect on who's our rock. Who's that person or dog that is your rock? And the funniest thing happened to me several years ago. I was doing a keynote. It was a full day training for Catholic charities. And I forgot that all the women in attendance were nuns. They were sisters. So I said, let's just take 2 minutes and share amongst your table. Who is your rock? And nobody said anything.
Really?
And I was like, no, just take a minute, you know, just share who your rock is. And they were, thank God for this nurse, this nun, she raised her hand and she said, you do know that our rock is Jesus. I was like, I'm so sorry you weren't wearing habits. I forgot you were nuns. I was like, so that, you know, you need to laugh. What are you going to do when you screw up, right? You have to laugh, especially when my triplets were 3, I got pregnant again. And so I brought Brian home, this poor baby, look at the size of that binky. You know, one brother has knives in his hands, it's plastic. Another one's going to karate chop him. So we need our sense of humor and recognize that we are all connected on this universal scale. I'm here in Florida. Laura, you're there in your home. Everyone is somewhere, but we are very much attached. We are not alone. We are united. And that's the other part of the fabulous principle. So if you used a strength, what would you say? You know what, Barb? I am collaborative. That's my strength. That's how I apply it to being united. And I was able to give a coworker a break. What a blessing. And last but not least, pillar 8, self-compassion. That's Krista Neff's work on really looking inward when, let's say you screw up and you make a huge mistake, be kind to yourself. Recognize that part of your personality. Don't be so critical. Recognize common humanity. Other people screw up too. You're not alone in that. And mindfulness. She talks about keeping that experience in perspective. Don't allow it to just overpower you. So be self-compassionate. And here are some quotes that were on my chat bar recently. I'm just as kind to myself when I make a mistake as I am to others who make similar mistakes. I don't criticize myself when I start thinking negatively about someone. I don't have to be perfect and recognize others feel the same way I do when exposed to traumatic material. I love these 3 better than the research, because I'm research-based. And I think this really brings home that healthcare professionals are hard on themselves because they want to do the best that they can. But because we are dealing with so many patients and you know, things that are in place now that make our job so hard that we also have moral injury. So here's a reflective question that I would like to ask. Imagine you met an older version of yourself right now. What sage advice would they offer you? And I would say, listen to that version of yourself. What was the first thing that popped into your mind? Do it. Do it. What sage advice would you give yourself if you can reflect on that? Also, all of the research notes that healthcare professionals benefit from an energy source. So when you're looking within, knowing your strengths, building your resilience, what is helping you? Is it meditation? Is it drumming? Is it a tradition that you have in your family, in your culture, in your faith? Is there an inspirational book? Are you writing in a journal? Do you just stand outside and appreciate the stars near water? How are you connected to your energy source? How are you connected to others in the field who are having just as a difficult time as you are? I did a training, a full day training in a hospital, and they brought in a Tibetan monk. And he was there the entire day. Mm-hmm. In the morning, he created the mandala, and mm-hmm. we were there at the break. We were there before mm-hmm. and after lunch and the afternoon break. And then in the late, you know, when it was over, he then just basically blew the mandala away. Mm-hmm. And he created this all day. And it was so meaningful, so impactful, because we do the best we can. We create throughout the day. But at the end of the day, we have to let it go. We have mm-hmm. to let it go and then move inward to what we need to recognize our greatest strength. So I would ask, you know, what is your greatest strength? What is it right now today, that strength that you can use to manage mm-hmm. all the stressors that you're going through in your personal and your professional life? And last but not least, if we had to identify a strength, you might say, I'm gentle. I treated myself with kindness when something went wrong at work. If we could treat ourselves with the same kindness and respect we treat somebody else, it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. Anis Nin says, we don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. Now, I live in New Jersey, and there's this place called Grounds for Sculpture, and they have these life-size sculptures throughout the park. And I saw this man and woman sculpture holding each other. And I said to my friend, oh, look, like they remind me of a couple. Maybe they just lost their child and mm-hmm. they're grieving and they're holding each other in their embrace. And she paused and then looked at me and said, what is wrong with you? No, look at the sign, clandestine lovers in the woods. So I thought, my goodness, we really are a product of what we do. I even think right. statues are yeah. grieving. So, hello, who screwed up, right? So here's another question that I love asking. At your retirement party, what do you hope is said about your job performance? So they're standing around, they're holding the glass of champagne, they're toasting to you. What do you want to hear them say about you? And are you living that right now? That's what we have to get to. Are we living our values? Are we putting our strengths into practice? Are we mitigating the impact of burnout and compassion fatigue and empathetic stress and distress and vicarious trauma and secondary trauma? Are we doing the things we need to do, or are we just talking about it? We spent some time here together, Laura, and I focused on that fabulous principle, FABULOUS. It is all the research on managing a stressful life and career. So my hope is now that we're done with this program together, that your viewers and your listeners, that they will take this and say, I need to make some changes. I need to have a goal. I need to recognize what I need to do and I need to do today. Don't put it off. Absolutely do not put it off. It is so important to recognize your need before the need of others. So I just want to thank you so much for inviting me, for giving me this space to talk mm-hmm. about my fabulous principle. And I hope that your viewers and listeners will do something with it. I really do.
Thank you so much. You've given us so many amazing things to think about. And I love how you talked about your pillar, your framework, which is amazing. And I'll put some of those notes into the emails I sent out to healthcare providers. But it's interesting how you talked about affirmations. And so I don't you think that's so powerful if they can put forward kind of a, even if they're feeling like they're stressed, if they can put forward a positive affirmation of, yes, I had this stressful experience, but I was kind to myself. How can that change maybe in the future, right? How they will handle that next situation that's stressful?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny you said affirmations. I have a slide during my keynotes about Stuart Smalley, and he was on the character like 20 years ago on Saturday Night Live. And he used to say, "I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me." And I make, I can have 1,000 people in attendance, and I make them all do this really, really loud. And they could have been sitting there with their arms crossed, just looking at me. But after they say that out loud and with that kind of power, they all smile. So whether you believe the affirmation or not, say it. Hey, I'm great. I'm fabulous. I'm smart. I'm this. I'm that. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. It even is putting a smile on our faces when you just put it in front of you. Put it in. And let me tell you, I've been a keynote speaker and trainer for healthcare professionals for almost 30 years. Wow. I have met these people. I don't just talk the talk. I know these people. They are the most beautiful, loving, compassionate people on the planet. They would give you, in a freezing room, they'd give you their sweater. That and who does that? You know, so we have to recognize the need to take care of them, to embrace them. That's why this time together, just a few minutes, recognizing that they're doing a great job and that it's for some of them, it's hell. I, in the chat bar, because I haven't done that many live trainings this past year because of COVID, they'll say, "I'm in hell, Barbara, I'm in hell." That is so frightening because as a suicidologist, I worry about their mental health, not only their physical health, but how are they doing mindfully? How are they taking care of themselves?
Right.
So fabulous. F is about being a flexible thinker. A is about having a positive attitude. B is about keeping your boundaries. U is about understanding job satisfaction. L is about laughter and having a sense of humor. O is about optimism. The other U is about being united and connected with others. And S is self-compassion. So although it's a silly phrase, a fabulous framework, it's built in solid foundation of research. It's about looking inward, taking care of yourselves by knowing your greatest strengths, being spiritual, flourishing, being mindful, and looking within. That's the bottom line.
I really like it because I like the word. I always like the positive spin on things, and I'm kind of the glass half full person. And so I like the fabulous because it kind of, even if they feel like they're in a stressful situation now, if they can kind of follow your framework and adopt it into their life, they can, I feel like, move toward a, you know, being even more happier, more fabulous. Does that make sense? They're already fabulous because they're doing great work, but have them feeling that their life is fabulous. Does that make sense?
It does. And what's funny, during my programs, I give out all these toys, like fabulous hats that say I'm fabulous, pins that ask me why I'm fabulous. So I have all these men walking around, sometimes police officers with big pins asking me, and I'll say, "Why are you fabulous?" And they just walking around saying, "I'm fabulous. How are you?" It's awesome. We have to be silly. You know, sometimes it's okay to just try to find the humor in things.
Yeah.
You know, we're all going through such a hard time, so many losses, so many people have experienced death-related losses and non-death-related losses. So, you know, I'm also a thanatologist. My specialty, my master's degree was in thanatology, which is the study of death and dying. So I've been busy with teaching people about grief-informed care and trauma-informed care, vicarious trauma-informed care. We are all in this together, you know? So I hope that if anyone is looking for a keynote speaker, that they could reach out to me for their organization, maybe share this podcast. If you're a suicide loss survivor like myself, I you can go to Amazon and pick up the third edition of my book that came out in 2020, but I didn't say goodbye. They could link in with me. I also wrote the course book, Loss, Grief, and Bereavement through Elite Healthcare. I also wrote a 2-credit course on COVID-19 for healthcare professionals, again, through Elite. Just reach out to me, link in with me. I have made so many great contacts on LinkedIn. There are amazing people out there doing great work.
There are. Well, thank you so much for being here. You've given our healthcare providers and everyone so many great tips. And again, we want to, as you mentioned earlier, we want to thank them. And then, so is it on this slide, is your website on here as well where they can find you?
Yeah. It's griefworkcenter.com, GRIEFWORK kcenter.com. And there's a contact form on there. Or just LinkedIn. And I've had so many conversations. I mean, this week I just hit 16,000 followers. It's amazing. But I think that's because I do so many trainings and there's hundreds of people on each call. And I say, link in with me. And then I go into my LinkedIn. I'm like, all of a sudden I got like 200 new people. I'm like, wow.
That's amazing. Well, I love the way you, cause this is a very difficult topic, you know, to discuss. And sometimes it's hard for people. They don't want to discuss it, but I feel like you bring a very amazing positive energy to it. Do you know what I mean? So like, cause think about when we started off, we were talking about this serious, you know, suicide, the topic of what you went through, what healthcare providers are going through. And now at the end, we're smiling. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're able to bring that. Yeah. So I feel like you'll do that with a lot of practice as well. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thank you for putting this program out there and recognizing that healthcare professionals need to take care of themselves and giving them an avenue to do just that. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. Great to have you.